Recently, the Competitive Enterprise Institute put together a compilation of apocalyptic predictions made by environmentalists in the last two, three, four decades along the lines of global warming, global cooling. Even recently, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said that Miami is going to be underwater not too far off in the distant future. Well, we're going to talk about this stuff with Greg Wrightstone, author of the book called Inconvenient Facts, The Science Al Gore Does Not Want You to Know. He has 35 years' experience as an earth scientist, specifically within geology. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Focal Point. And Greg, thank you so much for joining us again on the program.
Yeah, great to be back on with you. Oh, my goodness, this climate change stuff never stops. It's something new every day.
Yeah, you're right. In fact, just as we're speaking, in the last couple of days, they have, at the U.S. Congress, they have feted this Swedish teenage girl named Greta something or other. She was
Thunberg.
On the cover of Time. Pardon me?
Greta Thunberg.
Thunberg, yeah. And she was on the cover of Time magazine, and she wants to save the world from climate change. And she refused, of course, to meet with President Trump. She sailed across the United States so that that would save, fossil fuels from being used and consumed as she, you know, went from Sweden to here in America. But what is all the hullabaloo about climate change all about?
Yeah, well, let's talk about Greta Thunberg first. First, she's 16 years old. She dresses her family, and there is a very good reason why they dress her to look like a 12-year-old, put her in pigtails. Bears a strikingly resemblance to Pippi Longstockings. Mm. In Sweden, Pippi Longstockings is known as I forget what her name is in Swedish, but she's revered in Sweden for being a 12-year-old girl that instructs her elders on what they should do, and she's always right, you know.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, there's a reason they're dressing her up to look like she's 12 years old and a lot like Pippi Longstockings.
Mm-hmm.
And she did sail across the Atlantic because she didn't want to increase her carbon footprint by flying. The dirty little secret is the expensive racing yacht she was went across on was constructed entirely of petroleum-based products, number one. Number two is a four-man crew that sailed her a month across the Atlantic. And when they got here, they had to fly them home and fly a new crew in. So we had eight people making a transatlantic flight to save her from flying. It's virtue signaling. I mean, you can't write a script any more ironic than that. And what's going on now, she is the one, that, when she was 15 last year, who sat in front of the Swedish parliament sat down with a sign that said something or other, we need to strike for climate. And so she's really launched this climate strike initiative. And there'll be all around the world tomorrow, there'll be protests and climate action rallies all over the United States. If you Google climate strike, you can find it. I'll be attending one here in Pittsburgh. I've got a film crew coming with me. But it's going to be quite the event all over the world, all over the United States. There's one coming near you. A lot of these they've aligned with Antifa and a group known as Extinction Rebellion. Pretty nasty people, these guys. And Extinction Rebellion's big in the UK and Europe, where their goal is to shut down cities, and the fellow in charge of that, that was the founder of Extinction Rebellion, has stated publicly that his goal is not really changing the climate for the better. He says that their goal is to bring down systems of government, hopefully, he says, simultaneously, and replace it with their vision of I guess it would be a Marxist. He doesn't say Marxist, but it'd be a Marxist utopia that they want to do. So really, this is anarchism masquerading as climate change activism. And we saw that with AOC's chief of staff. It's been about a month ago now that he stated that when he was talking about the Green New Deal, and he was one of the architects of it, in an interview, he said, do you think this is about climate change? It's not. He said, this is about, again, bringing down governments and replacing it with our vision. So it's because I get asked a lot, you know, why are they doing this? Why are they lying to us? And I usually say, well, whoever asked me that question, I said, well, you're just as qualified as I am. I can provide the science, the facts, and the data that clearly shows that you're being lied to about climate change. Not that it's not happening, it is, and not that CO2 doesn't add warming to the atmosphere, it does. It's just modest and overwhelmed by those natural forces. But I can provide the science to show just how they're lying to us, and it's amazing what they think they can get away with, and actually they do, because the media does not report on anything that counters man-made catastrophic warming.
Yeah, you think about just the fact that the leading presidential Democratic candidates held a town hall meeting lasting, I think, some hours for
hours.
CNN. 7 hours. That's a lot of hot air in that room. My goodness. This is all based on, alleged science, but you're a scientist and you're saying, no, the science is being blown out of proportion. Talk about this scientifically for a moment.
Well, let's just look. A good example is just something recently that a couple. Let's look at a couple good examples. Number one, 2 weeks ago, the big story was the Amazon forest was rainforest was ablaze, and it was unprecedented. We've never seen anything like this. But if you go to NASA, and actually the picture of the forest in flame and Amazon in flames came from NASA, and it was shared over 2 million times. The photo was the satellite photograph. They didn't share the caption. You know what the caption said? NASA said that the fires are about average of the last 16 years. So that's not alarming. And I'd looked initially when I first saw that 2 weeks ago. Initially, it said slightly below average. So I think somebody got to NASA and said, we can't raise the climate alarm bells if you say the fires are slightly below average. And right in the middle of what the average was since 2003. But that was the big story. The other one was this UN extinction report. In fact, I'm going to Washington, D.C. next week. We're just lining it up right now to testify to the U.S. House on the Endangered Species Act. The U.S. House is trying to pass legislation to roll back some of the changes that Trump is unilaterally making in the Endangered Species Act. And they're using this UN climate assessment report that came out as the reason why they need to stop them. And in the report said that we may experience 1 million extinctions over the next several decades. Well, I took a look at it. In order to get to 1 million extinctions, we'd need to get 25,000 to 30,000 extinctions of species per year. You know what it's been, the average for the last 40 years? I'm not going to make you guess. Two. Not 2,000, not 200. Two per year of species going extinct. And they go, oh, well, yeah, but it's going to get to 30,000 pretty soon. No, it's not. No, it's not at all. The extinction of species has been declining and significantly since the late 1800s. We're getting better. We're taking care of those endangered creatures that are on the earth, and we're doing it pretty darn well.
Hmm.
And that's what I'll be speaking on and exposing. I looked at the exact same data that the UN report did, and they looked at it on a century-by-century basis. I looked at it on a decadal, every 10-year basis, and just showed how wrong they were and how they manipulated. And that's what it was, data manipulation that they use to come up with these numbers to scare people. And that's their intent. They need a population that's scared to death that human increases of emissions are leading to catastrophic climate change and global warming and catastrophic events. And it ain't happening. It ain't happening. We look at just what's happening instead of listening to speculation, rank speculation of what might happen 30, 50, or 80, or 100 years in the future. We just don't see. We see an Earth, and I see an Earth that's thriving, prospering, and greening, in part due to rising temperatures and increasing CO2. And it ain't even close. I mean, just think about it. Look at every metric you look at in the last 100 years. Look at history's rearview mirror. We're just getting better and better and better. Life expectancy keeps increasing. food production keeps outpacing population growth. Food production has just been setting record year after year after year. And part of that's due to warming temperatures and rising CO2. If with warming temperatures, growing seasons are lengthening. Killer frosts stop early in the spring, arrive later in the fall so you can get more plantings. And CO2fertilization effect, more CO2, which we are increasing, leads to stronger and healthier, faster growth. And plants need less water because of increasing CO2. That's a good thing. That is a really good thing. It's a good thing for Earth's ecosystems, and it's good for the human condition. And we no one tells you about it.
Well, why? Yeah, why is it that we do hear the alarmist voice? I mean, for example, there's even a, and this seems crazy, but there's a Swedish scientist who suggests that the solution to man-made global warming is to eat human flesh. And that'll help solve it. I mean, this is like the old Charlton Heston movie, you know, Soylent Green, it's people.
Yeah. Well, we've been hearing this. It's really a Malthusian idea of overpopulation. We've been hearing that since the late 1800s. Paul Ehrlich and the population bomb in the late 60s said the same thing. But it's not happening. Our food production is outpacing population growth, and population growth is slowing significantly. So the reason they do it, I open my book up with a quote from
Al Gore.
I'm drawing a blank. It's my own book and I'm drawing a blank.
Chicken Little, Al Gore.
No. It's hang on, I'm opening my book up. And hang on, this is
Voltaire.
Oh my goodness! No. Hang on. Okay, H.L. Mencken. How can I? I've never.
Oh, the Hobgoblins one.
Yeah, Hobgoblins of Alarm. That he says that these governments and institutions need to create imaginary Hobgoblins of Alarm to frighten the population into other accepting otherwise painful regulations. Because why in the world would the United States impose things like the Green New Deal that will just
bankrupt,
or the Paris Climate Accord. It's just economically crippling.
Yeah,
it's going to be horrible for families, for individuals, increase our taxes, restrict our freedoms. No, thank you. The only reason we would do it is if indeed we are right on the edge of this precipice and we had more CO2 and we're going to take one step into this abyss of one climate catastrophe after another, and they're just not happening.
We have about 2 minutes left. How about Al Gore's movie from about 20 years ago, Inconvenient Truth? Your book is named, you know, in response to that. Were there some predictions he made in that movie, measurable predictions that turned out to be not true, Al?
Oh, yes. Yeah, there's a whole long list of those.
Well, how about one or two examples?
Oh, I don't have that in front of me. He talked about New York City being underwater and... I think it was going to be the end of snow. We wouldn't see snow anymore. There were just a whole number of these things. And one of his big focuses was on what was called the hockey stick, which was done by a disgraced climatologist, Dr. Michael Mann from Penn State, that completely wiped out what's called the medieval warm period and the horrifically cold Little Ice Age. But one thing your listeners could do if they're interested in some of what I've been saying, I've got all this information in my book, but I've also got a smartphone app that we've released, and it has all the 60 inconvenient facts on there. They're fully sourced and referenced. A really powerful, powerful tool. They just need to search for inconvenient facts to get it. That way you can have that information right in the palm of your hands. It really is powerful to... So when you're out talking to people, you can say, well, look here at this.
All right, good. And the more information is available at your website, inconvenientfacts.xyz. Hey, thank you, Greg. Go ahead.
The book is sold out on Amazon. So, thank you.
The book is sold out?
It's been sold out for 2 weeks. Amazon can't keep it in stock.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Well, I own a copy. It's a collector's item now. Hey, thanks so much for being with us. Okay. Bye-bye.